And hopefully they are tuning in, and it's kind of half past the hour now, so they might have given up by now, but we'll see if they can catch it. You can tell, Brother Pete, if people are watching or not, can't you? All right. So if you're joining us, we are continuing our study on Numbers. If you've got the sheet, the number one in the Bible stands for unity. All right, when you see the number one, it represents unity. The number two represents division. And that's obvious, isn't it? If one is unity, two is division, dividing. The number three stood for the Trinity. God is three in one. God made us in His image. We are three in one. And so we saw that throughout Scripture in many different areas. The number four we saw last time was the number of earth. Last time was 2 weeks ago, because last Wednesday night we had a special meeting here with Brother Griffiths, Brother Kinsey. So the number four was the number of earth. The number five we also covered last week, and that number is the number of death. The number five in Scripture is the number of death. Some say it's the number of grace, and there are things in the Bible where the number five represents grace. But overwhelmingly, I think it's more death than it is grace. That brings us tonight to the number six, and we'll go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now, on this thing of numerology, I have four different books back there that I am kind of gleaning alongside the Bible and my knowledge of it to get other ideas and thoughts. And those are just four books among hundreds on the topic of numerology. And yet most of those books, many books on biblical numerology, take you through letters and the Hebrew language and the Greek language, and they really get complex and really get in-depth, and we're trying not to do that. What I want us to see is things that we can see in the Bible that's in front of us, all right? Not getting these complex theories or all this kind of stuff and trying to solve all the world's problems that way. And the only way you'd understand that if you know how these other writers write about numerology and trying to find who is the second shooter on the grassy knoll back in 1960, whatever. They claim they can find all kinds of things in the Bible through these number systems. And we're just looking simply at numbers as they appear in our English Bible with our chapter and verse divisions and the words that appear there. And we're looking at what these numbers represent. Simply to see that there is a thread that goes through Scripture, that the God of this book is a very intelligent God. And that the God of this book knows things that we will never even realize that He knows. We can spend, Pastor Brayton and I were talking the other day, we could spend our whole lifetime reading and studying this book. We could spend 10 lifetimes reading and studying this book and yet scratch the surface of what's in there. And then there are so many other books on biblical topics, on doctrines, on missionary stories, different things that you could consume your whole lifetime reading things that are all Bible-based. And all of that would be time well spent compared to time not well spent in many other different areas. But the purpose of looking at these Bible numbers is not just to say, well, look what I know or anything like that, but to see that God has a system in the Bible that He's put there. He knows it's there. We're not surprising Him by looking at it. He knows it's there, and we're just looking to see that a God that is that intricately informed or detailed in His Word, if we can see these things and this thread that's through there, how much more important is every Word of God to us tonight? And getting into the Word of God and learning the Word of God. This book was not given to be another book in the library. It was given to be our daily bread. It was given to be that which cleanses us and sustains us. So when we look at these things, it's not just the curiosity, but it's knowing that God has designed something in Scripture. Notice back in Genesis chapter 1, as we think about the number 6, let's look at the sixth day, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And here we're looking at the days of creation. And here in verse number 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over cattle and over all earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every green herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the earth, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the, what? Sixth day. On the sixth day, you know this, God made man. And six is the number of man. It is explained to us in six verses in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26 down to verse number 31. In these six verses, we see the creation of man. And so throughout Scripture, we're going to see that this number is related to man himself. In Genesis chapter 1, God made man on the sixth day. It's kind of funny. Some folks have said this, that the reason God made man on the last day is had he made him any earlier, man would have taken credit for helping God make what he made after that day. So he made him last so that we couldn't claim any glory or credit for what God did. Yet man tries to do that anyways. But he waited till the last thing, even after the animals, after everything was done, he made man. On the sixth day, he made him in his own image. And so that number is related to man himself. In fact, so much so that over in chapter 6, notice in chapter, well, go to chapter 3 and verse number 6. All was well. God made man on the sixth day. All is well. Till chapter 3 and verse 6. And you know what happened there. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. In the sixth verse of this chapter, everything God had done of making man on the sixth day went kaput. Everything went downhill because on that, according to verse number 6, on that day, Eve looked at the tree and saw it, lusted after it, desired it, took it, ate it, and gave to her husband, and he did eat also. That could have been the fifth verse, the seventh verse, the tenth verse, the ninth verse, but it just so happens, if you believe in just so happenings, it just so happens it's in the sixth verse of that chapter. So turn over to chapter 6. And what's going to happen in chapter 6? Well, that sixth day of creation in those six verses was ruined by chapter 3 and verse 6 and Adam and Eve taking of that fruit. And by the time we get to Genesis chapter 6, man has corrupted himself upon the face of the earth. And in Genesis chapter 6, look at verse number 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. This system of sixes that's running through is not coincidental. It's something that in the mind of God he knew and foresaw, and it just comes out when we study the Bible and read it, we find that it's there. Then in this sixth chapter, God puts an end to mankind, basically, by way of a flood. He did it during the life of Noah. He did it when Noah was how old? Chapter 7, verse number 6. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 6. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. God didn't time that by accident. It's not just a coincidence. In the sixth chapter, God gave up on man. In the 600th year of Noah's life, he'd been preaching for 120 years. And in the 600th year of his life, God said, that's it, I'm done. I'm finished with man. And he caused the flood to come down. So we see this thread going through Scripture that six is the number of man. Look at Exodus chapter 20, if you would. And I'm not going to do what I've got one book back there. It's actually on Kindle on my computer. And the guy goes from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And that book is hundreds of pages long of every six that's in the Bible. And we're not going to do that. But we are going to jump over to Exodus chapter 20. God made man on the sixth day. And he commanded them this in verse number 9 of Exodus 20. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. It's not, you know, we look at that now and just take it for granted. Well, of course, you know, there's 6 days, Monday through Saturday on the seventh day you rest. Well, number one, that wasn't the Jewish calendar. They rested on Saturday, so they started the first day of the week with Sunday. They went till Friday and then rested on the seventh. But 6 days man is to labor. God made man on the sixth day. God rested on the seventh day. God commanded man to work 6 days and rest on the seventh day. So 6 days of labor. Exodus chapter 23, verse number 10. Exodus chapter 23, verse number 10. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof, but the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still. All right, he made man on the sixth day. He told him to labor for 6 days. They told him to plant and harvest their crops for 6 years, and on the seventh year they were to rest, the year of Jubilee, and to give the land rest. All these sixes are related to man, his labor, his working the fields. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy 15. I've had many comments about this study on numerology, and I had two complaints. And the complaints were, number one, we were going too fast. And number two, there wasn't enough room on the paper to write everything down. Now, those are good complaints, so I'm not worried about that. So we're trying to slow it down just a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse number 12. Here was the law: if a poor Hebrew man had to sell himself into servitude to a brother, the law of Moses said, and if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. So the man's labor as in servitude was to be 6 years, and after that he was to be set free. All these numbers are related to man. The sixth book of the Bible is right after Deuteronomy. It's the first book named after a man. All right, what a coincidence, huh? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then the first book named after a man is the book of Joshua, which just by utter chance has six letters in it. And in the sixth chapter of Joshua, we have the most familiar story of the book of Joshua, and that is the tumbling down of the walls of Jericho. And in the tumbling down of the wall of Jericho in chapter 6, you know what God told them to do. For 6 days, march around the city. One time a day, put the priests out in the front, put the horns out in the front, the ram's horn, put the priests behind them, put the armed men out there, and march behind them, but not a word, not a peep, nothing is to be said. For 6 days thou shalt go around them. That was the commandment of God to the men. On the seventh trip, just like the seventh day is a day of rest, the seventh year was a year of Jubilee. On the seventh, we'll get to the number seven in just a few minutes. On the seventh trip, the walls fell down, but the men were commanded, for 6 days, encompass the city, march around it. Six is the number related to man. The Jewish day. Our day begins at midnight, goes till 11:59 the next day. But the Jewish day started at 6 o'clock in the evening. The evening and the morning were the first day, back in Genesis chapter 1. And that evening started at 6 o'clock. That helps us to time everything in the Bible. Jesus' crucifixion on the sixth hour. We know that that was at noon because 6 a.m. was the beginning of the morning watch. We read about all the watches from the seamen going out and all these different things. Everything was based on that Jewish calendar. And God started it at 6 p.m. And the evening and the morning were the next day to 5:59 p.m. the next day. God worked in sixes when he made man. Nebuchadnezzar's image. Look over at the book of Daniel. Remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream? He had a dream of a golden image. It was an oversized man. It was that image that the three Hebrew children were commanded to bow down to, and they refused to do it. You know the story that happened there. But that image is described in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. And notice when Nebuchadnezzar made his image, no measurements were given to him. He saw that image in a dream, and he made the idol, he made the image from it. And it just so happens that the sizes, in Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits. Now a score, of course, is 20. So that image was 3 times 20. It was 60 cubits high. And it says, and the breadth was 6. It was 60 by 6. What's the chances of that? Now again, a lot of folks will say, well, all this stuff is just coincidental. I don't know. I think I'd take those odds. It was 60 by 6. All these things that is going by 6. These men, anything related to man is 6. You know who the super heroes were in the Old Testament? They were guys like Goliath. Those giants. Remember those giants in the Old Testament? The one that David killed. And I'm looking for my notes where I wrote this down, okay? You know what Goliath's height was? It was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits. Not cubits, the measurement turns out differently, but men were all measured by sixes, by sixes, by sixes. It's the number of man. In fact, those giants had 6 fingers on their hands and 6 toes on their feet. Just something about this thread that goes through men. Goliath's spear weighed 600 shekels, according to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 600 shekels. It could have been any measurement, any weight, but it just turned out to be the 600. So all these things just running together show us that the number 6 is relegated to man. Let's go over to the New Testament. Go to the 6th book of the New Testament. The 6th book of the New Testament has 6 letters. And it ends with man's, M-A-N-S. But go to Romans chapter 6. And verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Our old man is crucified with him. In the 6th chapter of the 6th book, in the 6th verse, God talks about our old man being crucified. In fact, that word man in verse number 6 is the 6th word in that verse. So all these things are showing that the number of man in the Bible, when it comes to these numbers meaning something, the number of man is the number 6 is the number of man. And of course, now I'm going to go to the one verse you're thinking of since we started this. Revelation 13. Revelation 13. The greatest man, as far as wickedness is concerned, is going to be that beast that rises up during the tribulation period. In Revelation 13 and verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 60, that's 60, and 6. 600, 60, and 6. You always hear 666, 666. That's where it comes from, Revelation 13, 18. We'll get to the number 13 later, but I'll just give you a clue. The number 13 is the number of rebellion. And here in the 13th chapter, we read about the Antichrist. And his number is 666, and it's written in chapter 13 and verse 18, which would be 6 plus 6 plus 6. But now we're really pushing it and stretching things out there a little bit. But there's just a lot of coincidences in the Bible when it comes to these numbers and this thread. And again, someone would say, well, that's just, if it was true, it would be every number six and every six and everything. No, God didn't make every one of them, but He put enough of them in to show us a majority of it to give us an indication of what the numbers represent in Scripture. The number six is the number of man. That takes us to the number seven. The number seven, don't write this down, is God's number. That's not going to be the answer here. The number seven is God. If the number six is the number of man, the number seven is God's number. Man plus one, unity. Man plus one. And so the number seven, we're going to put it as it's the number of completion. Now some call it the number of perfection. And again, these books, Clarence Larkin, are Rightly Dividing. Hutchings is another book I've got. Kevin Mann is the book that Miss Charlene had asked me about, and I got that one to look at these. And Dr. Ruckman's book on it. I'm trying to think of the four I've got back there on my shelf. And they all deal with these number sevens. Clarence Larkin lived in 1919, I think, is when he wrote all this stuff and started this thought about this thread of numbers here. But the number seven is the number, we're going to call it the number of completion. Well, how so? Well, we go back to Genesis chapter 1 again, right? In Genesis chapter 1, God made everything in 6 days. And on the seventh day, thus the heavens, chapter 2 and verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had made. Twice in that verse it tells us everything was finished. Everything was complete. Everything was done on the seventh day. God made things in sevens. It is said by the medical profession that our body has seven members to it. The head, the torso, the arms, the legs. There are seven basic parts to man. God made us in His own image. There are seven, going outside of Scripture, when God made it, God made seven different colors that were in the rainbow in Genesis chapter 9. The rainbow is made of seven colors. The musical scale on the piano is made of seven notes. If you know music, there's A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. There is no H. There's no name. Now there's others, there's sharps and there's flats in it, but basically with seven notes you can play anything that's in existence. God created, God made in sevens. And so we find these sevens in creation. In the Bible, there are seven covenants that God made with man. Starting with the Garden of Eden, then to the Garden of the Covenant of Innocence, the different ages throughout the Bible, there are seven different covenants God made with man. That's God's number. There are 7,000 years of biblical history. 4,000 years in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. 4,000 years. 2,000 years of the church age from the crucifixion of Christ and His resurrection to the rapture of the church. Approximately 2,000 years by a Jewish calendar, which does not match our Julian calendar. And then 1,000 years of the kingdom of God after that. God is working in sevens. Everything that God does, He works in sevens. In fact, what is God's name? Not the I Am, but what is His name? It's given to us in Scripture with all capital letters, and His name is Jehovah. And Jehovah has seven letters to it. Now somebody would argue, well, in Hebrew it's not, but we're not talking about Hebrew. We're talking about in English. It's seven letters. J-E-H-O-V-A-H. In the Hebrew language, they didn't have vowels in it, and so it didn't have anything in. There's only four letters to it. But in our Bible, again, that's where we're going. In our Bible, it's a seven-letter name. Jehovah is a seven-letter name. The name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a human name, but His title, Savior, is a seven-letter word. Let's look over, and I didn't write a reference down. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm just looking for a verse right now because I didn't There it is. Chapter. I knew this was here because of Sunday night. Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior. There it is right there. Savior. Seven letters. I think that's not coincidental. I think that title and that spelling is a God-given title and a God-given spelling. Now the problem is, in our English language, we have modernized it to a certain degree that all of the new Bible translations respell Savior with six letters instead of seven. They leave out the U. But I believe God's title for Jesus Christ is Savior, S-A-V-I-O-U-R. That's how important every jot and every tittle is in the Word of God. Every letter is important. You can't change even the letters without messing up something that you don't know you're messing up. And this thread of the number seven throughout there. Let's put it this way. He named his archangels, right? We know the name of three of the archangels. One of them is Michael, seven letters. The other is Gabriel, seven letters. Is that just coincidental? That Jehovah, whose son is the Savior, has two archangels named Michael and Gabriel, and then there's a third archangel, isn't there? Look back at Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And here's why, folks, the Bible we use is important. Again, you can have one of the modern translations, newer Bibles, and Savior won't have seven letters. It'll have six. And somebody would say that's not a big deal. Well, yes it is. It is a big deal. And then we'll go to Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 12, and you know this story. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? See that other one of those other archangels? And here's the problem for us. When we hear the name Lucifer, we're thinking wicked, ungodly, vile. But Lucifer was not a bad name. Lucifer was a good name. It meant son of the morning. It was the name given to him by God in eternity past. And he called that angel along with Gabriel and Michael, and Lucifer was on equal footing with Gabriel and Michael. In disputing the body of Moses, the Bible says that Michael, the archangel, had to say, "The Lord rebuke thee," because Lucifer was a match for Michael. These are three powerful angels, and they all have seven-letter names. Don't rob the Savior of a seventh letter when Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer have seven letters. I think we're overstepping our authority and our bounds. So Lucifer is that name. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, seven letters, son of the morning? How art thou cast down, which is weak in the nation? And again, we talk about the number five is the number of death. And after Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, his name is now Satan, or devil, which are five-letter names. God stripped him of his seven-letter title and now confines him to a five-letter name. But his original name was Lucifer. That's the only place in the Bible that that name appears, Lucifer. The only place in all the Bible, 773,000 words, that's the only time that word appears in the Bible. That word is not in any of the new Bibles. All right, Lucifer is, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O son of the morning?" You know who else is a son of the morning? The Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to make sure that word Lucifer's in there, and it's not in there in all the new Bibles. So that seven-letter title is a very important thing. The Savior, Jesus, is seven letters. I've preached a message before. Brother Matthews, you've probably preached it before. Brother Merle, the seven sayings of Christ from the cross. There were seven times that Jesus spoke from the cross. Seven different things that he said. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Seven different times Jesus spoke from the cross. The Savior, that seven-letter word, spoke seven times from the cross. In the Gospel of John, he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am." You know how many "I am"s are in the Gospel of John? Seven. Not six. Not eight. Not five. But seven. Someone again would say, well, that's all coincidental. I don't think it caught God by surprise. I don't think He's sitting back up in heaven hearing me right now and saying, wow, they've discovered something I didn't know was there. Or God saying, I didn't know that was there. I didn't put that there. I think all of this is a threat of God to let us know that even underneath the foundation of what we see, He's got, this is His Word. And He's laid it out so perfectly. Jesus, the Savior, spoke seven times, said seven times, I am. Look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We talked about Lucifer, a seven-letter name. The only time it appears is in Isaiah 14, verse 12, but that's only in a King James Bible because no other Bibles have it. Here's another word that's only in a King James Bible. And it's seven letters. And it's the place that Christ was when He uttered those seven sayings from the cross. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 32, and there were also two other malefactors led with Him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. That great mountain where the crucifixion of Jesus Christ took place, where His blood was shed for the remission of our sins, where that one thief looked and said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That place is named. And it's only named one time in the Bible. And that's in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. Out of 773 plus words in the Bible, that's the only time the word Calvary appears in all the Bible. But it's only in a King James Bible. Because the other Bibles don't have Calvary there. The other Bibles say, and when they were come to the place which is called the place of the skull, they don't call it Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died at Calvary. You know how many songs we have about Calvary? You know how many sermons down through the ages have been preached about Calvary? And the only place that name appears is right there in that verse, and it's only in our Bible. Because all the new versions take it out. You know what I think is really, really funny? All the churches that are called Calvary. Calvary Chapel. Calvary Baptist. That don't use a King James Bible. And don't even realize that their name comes from the Bible. They don't even know it because they got a Bible where that name doesn't even appear. So changing Savior from 7 to 6. Taking Lucifer out. Taking out Calvary. And again, saying, well, we're just making it easier to understand. No, you're messing with something you have no idea you're messing with. That's why the Bible says in the book of Revelation, it gives a curse to those that take away or add to. Because God has preserved His Word, and we've got it exactly like we want it, and there's a thread of numbers running through it that most people are oblivious to and don't even know that it's there because they've never gotten past the basics a Bible. They're still Sunday school level. They could be downstairs with the kids tonight and be having a good time because they don't know any more Bible than that. But growing in the Lord is understanding that God has done so many more wonderful things. We'll end tonight with the number 7 in the book of Revelation. And what better place to end than the book of Revelation with the number 7? The number 7 appears in the book of Revelation 53 times, more than any other book in the Bible. Now, in case you check me out, if you go to the word 7 in the book of Numbers, you'll find it more times than Revelation, but it says 700 or 7,000, numbering the people, numbering the men. But when it's just talking about 7, the number 7, not 700. In fact, in Revelation, it's actually 54 times, but one of those is 7,000. But just 7, 7, 7, 7, the book of Revelation is jam-packed with 53 of them. I'll give you the short list. There's 7 churches. We all knew that, right? You know how under attack the Bible is? I've read where someone has said this in commenting on the seven churches of Revelation. There weren't just seven churches. There were many more churches than that. God just picked the number seven to round it off. It's just a symbolic number. No, he was writing to seven churches. There were more churches than that, but he was writing to those seven that which are in Asia. So they say in Revelation, whenever you read seven churches, seven spirits, seven golden candlesticks. Again, they're saying, he's just rounding that number off. He's just making it an assumed number. It's not specific. No, it's specific. It is seven. Seven stars. Seven lamps. Seven seals. Seven horns. Seven eyes. Seven angels. All these sevens in the book of Revelation as God is wrapping up everything. Seven trumpets. I like this one, the seven thunders. I don't know if you remember when we went through the book of Revelation a few years ago and we got to the seven thunders. What are the seven thunders? We have no idea. It just tells us that the seven thunders thundered and God doesn't tell us anything more about it. And everybody makes a big deal about what God doesn't say anything about. There's seven heads. There's seven crowns. There's seven plagues. There's seven vials. Seven mountains. Seven kings. The number seven is God's number throughout Scripture. From Genesis, the seventh day, culminating in the book of Revelation with all these different sevens, it is God's number. Don't mess with the Bible. Don't mess with the Word of God. Again, folks say with all the new Bible versions, it's easier to understand. No, it's really not. It's less accurate because it changes so many things and takes things out. We'll planning later for a message on the these and thous in the Bible that appear over 4,000 times. And why, if you take them out, you've messed up something. Because God has every word in it exactly like it's supposed to be. And this thread of numbers running through it is just, again, an unseen stream running under the foundation that very few of us look at or find out or know about. But now you know about it. If you didn't know already, you know it now. And God has put that book together miraculously. What you can do as you're reading through your Bible is look for these numbers. There's going to be more things than what I pointed out. There's a lot more than what I pointed out. And there's going to be some things you're going to see that others just haven't seen yet. Just stay in that book and read it from cover to cover. And when you get done, go back and read it from cover to cover again. When you finish it, go back and read it from cover to cover. You're not wasting your time. Any moment spent in the Bible is not wasted time. Let's all stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, we are thankful.